Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Great to have you with us. This Week in America, online, thisweekinamerica.us. Elizabeth Clayton began teaching at the age of 20 at the University of Southern Mississippi, now retired and spending her days reviewing and preparing her works for publication, a truly remarkable writing career. Published 18 works, primarily poetry, starting with the release of her autobiographical account, I, Elizabeth, in 2007, which chronicles her struggles with bipolar disorder, inducted into the Literary Hall of Fame, Sigma Kappa Delta, in 2012, nominated for the Eric Hoffer Award by her publisher in the summer 2013 quarter of Forward Magazine. Her work Scarlet Flow, which we'll be discussing on the show today, shown in the World Book Fair in London in 2013, received the Golden Seal of Excellence Award in 2014. Also in 2014, Elizabeth was featured in two New Voices New Perspective segments. Queen Sheba, Quiet Sheba, a trilogy, was completed in early 2016. She received the Golden Seal of Excellence Award from her publisher. And her work, We Lesser Gods, published in the summer of 2016, its addendum receiving the Golden Seal of Excellence Award in the summer of 2017. Elizabeth Clayton, author of Scarlet Flow, is back with us on This Week in America. Elizabeth, welcome back to the program. Great to have you with us.
Thank you.
It is always a pleasure to have you on the program, and so much to talk about, and what a remarkable career it has been. On the show today, we're talking about Scarlet Flow, and you said when you were putting this together, this really, the themes that you touch on really exist in everyone. The book is very relatable. The themes are such that we really understand these, don't we? Something we encounter basically throughout our lives.
Yes. They are the little things that we sort of set aside, but we don't forget them.
No, and you do a nice job with the poetry in the book. And let's talk about this book. How is Scarlet Flow different than some of the previous works that you've written that we've talked about?
Well, this book is a sad book it's just a typical pathos of humanity, but it's a happier book than I, Elizabeth, for instance. It is a sad book in some ways because I had almost lost my leg, but I was able to keep my reason from the bipolar illness at bay and construct full poems. So that is an accomplishment for anybody who is ill and is trying to work against an impediment like I was. The book is very dependent on a small arena. I could not go. I could not ride. I did not receive company. I was just alone. I embraced my solitude because I had been married twice and very unhappily, and I was free at last to do what I wanted to do. And so I embraced my solitude, which included an awful lot of nature.
And you bring that all to life. Yes, in the book Scarlet Flow, talk about the time period. When did you write the most of what we see in Scarlet Flow?
My husband died in December of 1992, and I wrote the first verse in the spring of 1993, and I wrote continuously for almost 10 years.
And this was capturing a very difficult time in your life. You just alluded to that a little bit. It was an intensely difficult and thoughtful time for you. Talk about some of the things you were going through at the time, because this really, it seemed to just sort of pile on you at that time, didn't it?
All of us have losses, but some of us have losses altogether at one time, in bunches, as we say.
Yes.
I lost my psychiatrist of 22 and a half years. I had very little help with my medicine. I lost my husband, of course, and financial problems ensued. I lost my father. I lost my family. I have three brothers, but we had a schism, and I lost them. And then my mother died after having been ill with Alzheimer's. And I also had an accident after her death. Which almost required my right leg. I had four surgeries, facing amputation every time.
It also impacted your teaching career. Talk about that. I mentioned that you began teaching when you were 20 years old at the University of Southern Mississippi.
Oh, I just loved my teaching. I enjoyed it so much. I did not have children. I did not want children, and I'm not unhappy about that at all. But I enjoy teaching. I enjoy ideas. Thinking is my favorite pastime. And so I went back to school on a walk or twice with my leg. But it just wouldn't work. And so I was forced to retire. I had enough years to retire, and so I retired to my home, and I was there alone for about 5 years.
With us on This Week in America is Elizabeth Clayton, back on the program with us to talk about Scarlet Flow. You said this was a large undertaking for you. Talk about that and all the different emotions that went into this. Why was this such a large undertaking?
I thought, after I had written for a year or so, I wrote in secret. I didn't let anyone know I was writing. Very seldom read to anyone. But I had taught enough poetry that I knew good poetry, and I knew poor poetry, and I knew some of my verses were good. And I began to build confidence on that when I compared my work to the works of the masters. And so I worked, it was a big undertaking because I wrote every day. I had worked all of my life, and I didn't have anything to do all day except to sit. I couldn't move except to go to the bathroom or to fix a little meal or something like that. And so I wrote and wrote and wrote, and the poems began to reach out and embrace everything that was important to me, which ultimately came to truth and wisdom, faith and God, and all of those things, and they had to be worked out to some point. And it was a thoughtful time. It was a very thoughtful time.
Going through
discarding,
yes,
you know, building to and throwing away.
Was this therapeutic? Was this a good process for you to go through? It sounds
yes.
like it was,
yes,
creatively.
I think it saved my reason, because I could not afford a therapist. I could not afford most of my medicine. And I don't know what I would have done had I not written. It is the step-by-step procedure of going through days where there was nothing when you had to make something.
And now, because of what you went through and because of what you've done in publishing the book Scarlet Flow, you're able to help other people going through similar circumstances in their lives. Besides being a gifted writer, you are a gifted illustrator as well, and you went back and did the illustrations for Scarlet Flow. Talk about that process.
It was great fun. I was feeling some better, and I saved enough money in the early summer of the year that I did the illustrations to buy one geranium, and I did purchase that. And kept it very healthy, and I would go and sit with the geranium every morning on my patio, and a hummingbird came to visit me, and he would come every morning after I had come. He didn't come before, but after. And if I made any noise, any sound, any movement, he would fly away. So we had a great conversation in silence. Just little things like that made me happy. And so I was able to write for people who have great losses, and they can learn that they can benefit from whatever happens to them. Whatever happens to them, they can go forward from there. And you just don't have to go to a group and pay money and go. You know, you just don't have to do these things if you can't. You pull from within, and it comes out okay.
And that's exactly what you did. We're talking about Scarlet Flow by Elizabeth Clayton, our guest on the program, back with us on This Week in America. The book's available at Amazon, all the usual places. You can link on directly by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. You've also said this not only was a large undertaking, it was possibly your favorite collection. It's so personal. Why is this one that resonates so well with you?
It's not my favorite anymore. It was my favorite when I wrote those notes, but it was my favorite for a long, long time because I am a visual person. I paint, and I enjoy painting, and I like deep, bright colors. And so I illustrated the book with everything I could find. I'd walk across the lawn after I got so that I could use a cane, and I would pick up glass or marbles that were broken or rocks or whatever. I used butterfly wings. I used dried insects that were still in good form. I dried flowers and made beautiful arrangements with them. I used oil. I used medium. I used acrylic. I used whatever I had. And it was just it was an adventure. It was an adventure. And I enjoyed it. And I do like solitude. I like people who converse about real things. But I don't like people who don't do that. And so I spend a great deal of time alone happily. And I had my colors and my words and my silence. And I was happy.
And that's reflected in the book Scarlet Flow. Elizabeth Clayton, the author and our guest, one review said she writes from the perspective that circumstances and memories, whether painful or pleasant, flow into each other to give everyone the wisdom necessary to sustain a healthy style, a healthy self. Talk about that, because you take the glory, the ashes, everything. We see the good and the bad in your life, and it all forms who we are, don't they?
Yes, they do. When I was still teaching, I chaired my department, and sometimes I had a young man who was a volatile kind of person, but had a fine mind, and he would come sometimes in the afternoon and sit with me, and we would discuss literature, because he read quite a lot, and he introduced me to Stephen Crane's, who wrote The Red Badge of Courage. Everybody knows that one, but he introduced me to some of his poetry. And I didn't know that the man had even written poetry. He died earlier. He was tubercular. And so anyway, I read his poetry, and there was one verse that just caught me in my steps. And it refers back to what you said. There was a man walking through a desert place, and he comes upon a beast. And the beast is sitting on his haunches, eating something red and juicy and bright. And he says, "Sir, what are you doing?" The beast says, "I'm eating." And so the man says, "Well, what are you eating?" And he says, "My heart." And the man is just taken aback. He steps, draws back, and just walks off. He can't quite understand that. So he comes back to the beast, and the beast is still eating. And he says, "Well, sir, how is it?" And the beast says, "Bitter, bitter." And he says, "Well, why do you keep eating it?" He said, "Because it is my heart, and I love it." That is one of the most powerful images I have ever read.
Yes.
Life, as we know it here, with the good and the bad, the pluses and the minuses, it is the only life we know about. It's the only life that we know the reality of. And it is ours for right now. We want it. We want to enjoy it, take all of it, because we love it.
People are moved by your ability to confront and embrace all of the moments, the extremes that you write about in Scarlet Flow. How do you get to that point where you're able to actually embrace some of the times that are not the most pleasant? But it seems like you did it. And again, this is yourself. This makes you who you are. How do you find that ability to do that?
I think this may sound a little bit strange, and I don't mean it exactly, but I do a little. I know that sounds very vague, but I sometimes think that I lived at another time, and that I am here, and that I will return to the other time where I will be. I will know these beautiful things that I have, and these minuses are just things that accentuate how beautiful the good is that I will find. It's not the idea of heaven with golden streets and things. It's not anything like that. But it is a time when I was happy. I had to have been happier than I have been in my life. And I think that if I can withstand the minuses. Well, it's accepting the pathos of humanity.
Yes.
That's it.
Elizabeth,
you just accept the sweet bitterness of life.
And that's exactly what life is sweet bitterness. Scarlet Flow is the name of the book by Elizabeth Clayton. It's been said that this collection is a celebration of the value of beauty. Do you find that to be true? Do you believe that?
Yes, I do. Beauty is my antidote to despair. And the reason for that is that beauty in its psalm is close to wisdom and truth. And those entities make our lives worth the struggle that all of them have in them. None of us have a perfectly smooth sail. And so if we have beauty, and it doesn't have to be classic beauty, it can be close to wisdom and truth, and it gives you the peace. And it gives you the strength that you can go on to more beauty. Poetry, I'm sorry that poetry is not given the time it used to be given. It's not talk. People don't know how to read poetry. They think that it's not, they don't like it. But poetry takes words and draws images that help us in our steps in this dust of life.
A couple of minutes left in the program. When we opened, I said you touch on themes that exist in everyone. What are some of the themes that you do touch on in Scarlet Flow?
Well, I speak greatly about nature. I call it, you know, the face of God.
Yes.
As Kingsley did, I speak of nature. I speak of faith. So much of our time is spent in doubt and dissonance and despair. I speak of solitude. Some people don't do well with solitude. I do myself, although I do become lonely sometimes. Sometimes I speak of beauty that is fine arts beauty. I love music. I love painting, sewing, all that kind of thing. I speak of dissonance. I speak of, people have to read, no, I shouldn't say that. But anyway, in some of my other books, I do talk about disclosure. We all want people to know who we are, but we are so afraid to let people know who we are. We're afraid we'll be vulnerable. Those are things that we talk about. And then I just look at things that I can get up in the morning and go by a windowsill, and the moon's just about down. And it's a very beautiful, beautiful thing to me that time and the way the world works gives us the grace to, well, it is grace given to us that shows us God. People used to believe in nature as a representative of God because it's so consistent and it's so dependable. And so I speak of that a lot.
I said there was something there for everybody, themes that you touch on in Scarlet Flow. A minute or so left in the program. What is your hope for Scarlet Flow, for people who read that? What's your wish for the book?
I hope they will come to the conclusion that my nephew did, whom I quote, well, he wrote the foreword, and he quotes me. I hope that they will see that life is an exchange of glory and ashes.
That's Scarlet Flow. Elizabeth Clayton back with us on the program. The book's available at Amazon, the usual places, and you can link on directly to get information on the book by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Again, the particular work that we're talking about today is Scarlet Flow. We will have Elizabeth back for another program. Elizabeth, always great to have you with us on the program. Thank you so much for sharing that with us today. Look forward to having you back on the program. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Elizabeth Clayton, author of Scarlet Flow, our guest on the program. And you can link on directly by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we're back after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.